a clap offering before you're seated. He's a good God, and he loves us so much. Scripture this morning comes to us from the book of Matthew. We are about to finish this series of messages. Have you been blessed by this series on the Lord's Prayer? I didn't hear that. Amen. Matthew 6:13. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Other versions will say, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Some time ago, I saw a bumper sticker that read, "Lead me not into temptation. I can find it all by myself." It sounds funny, but it is so true. This morning, we will be talking about the last request in the Lord's Prayer. We're transitioning from our spiritual need of forgiveness, forgiveness from God, forgiveness from one another, to the need for moral standard, for guidance, for protection and deliverance. Because you and I live in a fallen world, temptations are around us constantly. Should I take that yellow or red light? Should I eat that whole chocolate cake? What is temptation? Temptation is a desire, the inducement or enticement to do something bad, wrong, immoral, unwise, sinful, or evil. Father, lead us not into temptation. It seems to me that this request needs to be on our lips daily. The English word lead is translated from the Greek word eisphero. Eis, E-I-S, means into, near, phero, to bring into, or to lead into. Does that mean that God tempts us to do something evil or wrong? Absolutely not. Perhaps, in order for us to better understand this petition, we need to study the other scriptures that speak about temptation. James 1:13-15. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Bottom line, God does not tempt us. Temptation comes from us and or the enemy of our souls, Satan. However, you and I have a choice in the matter. We choose to give into temptation or to abstain from it. One of my favorite authors, C.S. Lewis, in the story of the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, The white witch gets a young boy named Edmund to betray his siblings by finding out Edmund's weakness. It was his love for a candy called Turkish Delight. The piece of candy the witch gave him was the most delicious than anything he had ever tasted before. Before he knew it, he was hooked. All he could think about was eating that piece of candy. The more he ate it, the more he wanted it. You and I are like this boy. We have a vulnerability. We have a weakness, an unprotected spot that Satan enjoys exploiting. And you see, it might seem harmless at the beginning, but watch out. He's a deceiver. He has power, though it is limited power. Now, I'm not suggesting we go around blaming Satan. Not at all. I know there are people that go around saying, well, Satan made me do it, or the devil made me do it. We must take responsibility for our actions. What we tolerate, what we minimize, we will not change. We all deal with an external pull by Satan and an internal pull by our own lust and carnal desires. Just a little bite of that chocolate cake. Well, just another bite because I was really good today. Or just another little bite because I'm really feeling depressed. And just another bite, and before we know it, we're this size. Because it's just another bite. The Bible tells us it's the little foxes. Just another little sniff of cocaine. Just another puff puff. Just another look at the magazine or the website. And before we know it, we have played the game a little bit too much, and we're hooked. In order for us to effectively deal with the recurring, besetting temptation in our lives, we must get to the root of the problem. And friends, usually the root is sin, S-I-N. I know in today's society, we don't like to talk about sin. We call it an issue. We have an issue because we want to be politically correct. But sin is sin, and sin will separate us from God. And he doesn't want any of us to be separated from him. He loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his only son to die for us, so that we would be able to experience a new life in him. Some people will say, I give in to temptation in secret. No one will find out. Guess what? Sooner or later, every secret is revealed. Uncontrolled, unrestrained, unattended private temptations will become well-known sins. Our actions always have consequences. Temptation can come to us in three different areas, just like it happened to Jesus. He had been fasting for 40 days out in the wilderness. And then the tempter came and tempted him in those three areas. The lust of the flesh. You could read that later in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. The lust of the eye and the pride of life. And Jesus refused the tempter three times by using the word of God. He didn't argue with him. You know how sometimes we rationalize things and we want to argue back and forth. And Jesus didn't do that. He refuted the tempter by saying, "It is written, it is written, it is written." But my dear brothers and sisters, we need to read the word, study the word, so that you and I will know what it is written. So when temptation comes our way, we would know how to refute it. Satan doesn't have any compassion on us. He has not changed. If he tempted Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the Savior, what more would he do to us? However, as I said before, you and I have a say in the matter. Remember, we are not puppets in Satan's hands. Listen to what we're promised. 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 13. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Our Father in heaven, do not lead us. Do not bring us near or into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The NET Bible Version commentary, when speaking on this verse, affirms the request, "Do not lead us into temptation," it's not to suggest God causes temptation, but it is a rhetorical way to ask for his protection from sin. When you and I find ourselves being tempted, all we need to do is call on God to help us and run away from it. Just like Joseph did. If you know the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, he was working in the Pharaoh's house. He was a young, attractive, buff man. And the Pharaoh's wife wanted to have a little fun with him. And he said, "Absolutely not." And he ran from her. We too need to do the same. Beloved, we need to be prayed up. We need to pray in advance. As Jesus told the disciples in Gethsemane, watch and pray. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Watch and pray. How many hours do we spend speaking to the Father? When was the last time? Do we have a relationship with him? Or do we have religion? Do we come out on Sunday and participate in the church? Because it's a duty? I hear people say, "I was born in the church. My mom was bringing me to the church when I was in her belly." That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. But do you know Jesus? Do you know him as a friend? Do you know him as a savior? Religion is not going to save us. On the contrary, religion put Jesus on the cross. It's about a personal relationship with the living God. Do you know him? Do you walk with him? Do you talk to him? And have you heard him say to you that you are his own? Oh, sweet hour of prayer. There was a little boy named Johnny who was trying to save some money because he wanted to buy his mother a gift for Mother's Day. And he was having a terrible struggle because he gave in so easily to the temptation to buy goodies every time he heard the ice cream truck coming by. And one night after his mother had tucked him into bed, she overheard him praying. Please, dear God, help me to run away when the ice cream man comes down our street tomorrow. Friends, this is the cry of the human heart. A cry to stay away from sin, because sin separates us from God. A cry of deliverance. A cry of protection, or for protection. May that be our cry too. May that be our prayer. Please, dear God, help us to run away from temptation. Help us to walk close to you so that we can be delivered from the evil one. Help us to keep our eyes on you and not on the ephemeral things of this world. Help us, Almighty God. Let us pray. Abba, Father, you created us. You know the way that we take. You formed us when we were in our mother's wombs. Our fingers were created by you. Our feet. Every organ in our bodies. You created our hearts. You know us well. No one knows us like you do. No one loves us like you do. Forgive us for the so many times we have given into temptation. Forgive us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to be strong. Give us thirst and hunger after your word. Help us to keep our eyes on you and not on the things and the desires of the world. May we be mindful of the reality that everything here is temporal. We don't belong here. We're heaven bound. And when the roll is called up yonder, we will have to give you an account of everything we've done. Oh, Father, it is our desire that we will hear you say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And I know that you want to say that to us too. Holy Spirit, anoint us with fresh anointing this morning. Give us boldness and the desire to rededicate our lives to you again, as we prayed earlier. To enter a covenant with you, because you are a covenant God and a covenant-keeping God. And Father, we also lift to you this morning all of the pastors and missionaries all over the world. This month we celebrate, it is Pastors Appreciation Month. And pastors all over the world have had to come up with new and creative ways to minister to people. And some are discouraged and tired, Lord. We pray for them today. Bless them, empower them, make a way for them. We pray for missionaries up in rural areas, mountain areas. Keep them and their children safe, Lord. Pastors and missionaries in communist countries, Lord, that are being mistreated, protect them and strengthen them. We pray for churches here in the United States as well, Lord. Send us revival, Father. You have the answer for the crisis in this world. Only you. Send us revival. Renew us. Help us to turn our eyes on you and not on the things of the world. This we ask in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.